Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. Today, I get really excited for you to meet my friends. I've got some great pastor friends in this community, and today you're going to be meeting one of my friends. He just wrote a book called Holy Habits. Hopefully you got a copy of this today. This is one for per family. He's donating these, by the way. He gave these to us. And he has, I don't know if he's going to say this or not, but I'll go ahead and shamelessly plug his book. It's an incredible book. He's going to talk about that to you this morning. But he's got other copies if you want to buy some for friends or family or some people you think that could use the book. He's going to be out there in the lobby. Just stop by afterwards and say hi. His name is Brad as well. So you're going to be hearing from Brad. I wasn't lying online when I said Brad's preaching this week. Brad and I have it's really weird. We share the same name. But we also share a similar journey. We are both church planters. He started a church called The Gathering. I started a church called Connection Church. And we met in this pastor's coaching group. And that's where we met, which was very confusing for the guy who was coaching us, because every time he'd call out Brad, if it was negative, I'd say, obviously he's talking to you, Brad Jenkins, not me. Anything that was positive that was going on, it was obviously for me. So anyway, but Brad and I, our journeys, he's got four kids, I've got four kids, his wife's name is Laura, my wife's name is Laura. How crazy is that, huh? His wife's name isn't Laura. His wife's name is Christina. It was really cool. Are you gonna talk about Laura this morning and guiding her on that Israel trip? Are you gonna mention that? Okay, just let me mention this super quick. So we went on a trip to Israel together, and I got baptized in the Jordan River, and Brad is the one who baptized me in the Jordan, which was an amazing, significant moment in my life. Some of you see this ring that I wear. I bought this ring there at the Jordan River, and I just wear it because I say to myself, I'm married to one woman and I'm married to one God. And it just reminds me every day of that. And I'm thankful for Brad baptizing me. But I'm also thankful because we went through this thing called, I gotta take just a second. We were at this thing called Hezekiah's Tunnel. You go down underground, like 700 feet under the ground. And then you go through this little thing that's only like 5 feet high, and you go through this tunnel. And there's no way Laura's doing that because she gets claustrophobic. So she gets down into the cave, and we're like 700 feet under the ground. Laura starts having a panic attack. And she's like, you got to get me out of here. And I'm like, well, there's only one way out. And she's like, we either got to go through the tunnel, which she's not doing, or we got to go back up. And there's this one other way out. And so being the good man that I am, I said, Brad, do you got her? Because I'm going through Hezekiah's tunnel. I wish that weren't true. I'm like, it's once in a lifetime. It's once in a life. And to her credit, she's like, I'm okay. I'll be fine. She wasn't. She was faking it for me. But thank God there was another Brad that stepped into the gap to help her. But would you welcome my good friend, Brad Jenkins, pastor of Anthem Church. Come on, brother. Love you, man.
Well, Core Church, what an honor to be with all of you today. Just really enjoyed your spirit of your church, being in the lobby. Of course, I've known Brad and Laura for a lot of years, but being here today is my first chance to be with you, and just really an honor to sing with you, with Eric and the team, all your greeters in the lobby, just the great energy, and that incredible plug for kids ministry. All of you should sign up for kids ministry at the end of that. That was amazing, and I totally agree with that. I just want to honor my family that's here today, my wife Christina, right here, not named Laura, Christina. It's where our roads diverge at that moment. And then my four kids that are here, Levi, Judah, Adley, and Ezra. Can you guys wave your hands for just a moment that are there? Great. And last but not least, my stepfather, Craig, who's here today. So honored that he's able to be here with us today. Grateful. message I'm sharing today is from my book, Holy Habits. I'm hoping to just like begin the journey and just give you a sense of that to think about in your own life with Christ. What does it look like to follow him? And of course, I don't know if everybody is a follower of Jesus here today. I hope that all of you are. If you're not, we're glad that you're here, of course, to be at Core Church here today, just to hear the gospel, to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and what it's like to live for him with your life and live it out in every way you possibly can, which is a lot of my topic here today. So I want to start with a question. The question is, how does a person walk with Jesus for a lifetime? How does a person walk with Jesus for a lifetime? Because you can start with Jesus strong, passionate, moving with force, with energy, a sense of God's going to use you to do big things. But that doesn't answer the question of how you're going to end with Jesus. When you play out your years, how does a person walk with Jesus for a lifetime? So it sounds like a pretty simple question, but in all my years of ministry, I've observed in myself and in other people that I love, people that I've seen endeavor to walk with Jesus, I've seen many believers lose their passion and vibrant faith over time. I'm not saying that they're not saved. I'm not saying they're not going to be with Jesus in eternity. That's not the point I'm making today. I just see the fade that sometimes happens in a person's life where they start on the mountaintop, come to Jesus, forgiven of sin, given a future, a hope, and yet you see the fade begin to bring about some sad things in their life. I've done my best to study the Bible, all the lives of the people in the Bible, to look at who finished well, who didn't finish well. I've tried to inventory a sense of the great men and women of faith that we see in the scriptures, people that have books written with their name in it, or people that are embedded in the stories. And sadly, it seems that not many finish well. And I think that's a bit of a wake-up call, at least it has been for me, as I've studied the lives of people in the Bible to say, these great men and women of faith, some finish incredibly well, but many started strong and didn't finish the way that you'd imagine, which means that's a wake-up call for all of us and a scary reality to think that we could start in a certain place and end somewhere else. And yet, I believe it's possible for a follower of Jesus to have a faith as vibrant at the end as when you begin. I believe that's possible. I believe that's God's desire for Christians, for believers, imperfect as we are, even though we don't always get it right or make the right decision every time, to be possible for us to get to our end of our lives and honor God to our final breath. That's what I believe is possible. But I also know it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by just going through the motions. So a few years ago, our family was on a road trip through Texas. We were in a city called the middle of nowhere, Texas. Anybody been there? It's all over the place. In fact, there's lots of them, middle of nowhere. And we were driving down the road. And at some point, our dashboard lights began to flicker at me as I was driving. I thought, I've been through this before. Lord, don't make this happen right now. And within just a couple miles down the road, the car lost all power. So I've got my family in the car, the middle of nowhere, Texas, and I'm just drifting off to the side of the road, just trying to pull over. Cars are doing 80 miles an hour, just our car shaking, every car that's passing us. And I'm telling the kids, it's a very hot day. We're not going to be able to stay in the car. There's no air conditioner. We got to get out the passenger side, go out into the field. We want to stay in the car. It's an incredibly dangerous place to be. And so I get on the phone on the side of the road, and I call AAA, which I use almost never, but I pay for every year. And I was like, this is my moment. I'm going to get full value out of AAA right now. And I called AAA. I said, hey, this is where we are. My car just lost power. Sir, what's wrong? I don't know what exactly happened in the car, but we lost all power. We're standing on the side of the road. There's nowhere to go. I'm looking around. There's no places to walk to. And they said, no problem, sir. They go through all the details. Where are you? Your address. And they said, no problem. We're going to send someone out to you. I said, great. Thank you. How long will it be until they get here? They said, it looks like about 2 hours. I said, 2 hours does not work. It's impossible. It's 90 degrees. We're on the side of the road. It's completely unsafe. I've got, at that time, a four-year-old just wandering out in the field. And they said, let's see if we can call the local sheriff. I said, yes, please do that. So they call the local sheriff. The sheriff pulls up to our car and says to me, sir, what's wrong? Like, what happened to your car? I said, I don't know. The dashboard was flickering for the last mile or two. I was just hoping that I could get to some off-ramp. Didn't make it, obviously. And I thought to myself, sir, it's possible we ran out of gas. And he said, okay, possible. Like, what's the likelihood? I said, I don't even know the last time I looked at how much gas was in the tank. So I'm thinking it's the alternator. That'd make me feel better. But it is possible that we run out of gas. And he said, well, let's run you. Why don't you jump in the car? Family, stay here. Jump in the car with me. Let's run up. There's a gas station just 2 miles down the road. Let's fill up a gas can. Let's come back. We'll put the gas in the car. We'll see what happens. I said, sounds great. We run up, and you already know the end of the story. We were out of gas, to my great shame. And we had been running out of gas for a long time. We had been running on fumes for miles, and I had no idea. What's worse than running out of gas on the highway? What's worse is running out of gas in your spiritual life. That's worse. As embarrassed as I am that I ran out of gas and wasn't paying attention, I'd be more harmed, my family would be more harmed if I run out of gas spiritually, that I have to pull my life over to the side of the road and not be able to finish the task and live the life that God has called me to, that He dreamed for me from the beginning of time, who put inside of me my very creation. To run out of gas in that way would be much worse. But sadly, some people do. Some people do. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is one of the heroes of faith who does finish well. He finishes incredibly well. In fact, we have great recordings of the end of his life. I've stood in the place where they believe that the Apostle Paul is buried outside of Rome in a church buried underground where he was beheaded at the end of his life because he wouldn't renounce the name of Jesus Christ. He wouldn't renounce his faith. And the Apostle Paul finished incredibly well. So I had to ask myself, how did Paul do it? Well, here are his own words. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. The Apostle Paul says, do you not know that in a race, I love the imagery of a race because we're in a race. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Is the intentionality you see in the Apostle Paul's language, say the intentionality of how he wants to live his life, how he wants to finish his life, way before he's at the end of his life, he's thinking about how to live his life in such a way that he makes it to the place he wants to be. And what does he say? Well, he gives us this great encouragement, great challenge. He says, you should run to win. Don't run aimlessly. Don't take it for granted. Don't just go through the motions. Don't ignore the things that matter in life. Don't follow Jesus halfway. I think that's what he's saying. Go all in. Run to finish the race that God has given to you so that you can then win the prize. And what is the prize? The prize is not something that goes on the wall. You achieved all these things. People are impressed with you. The prize is knowing and experiencing Jesus Christ in your everyday life, and then to experience Jesus in the life that is yet to come forever and ever. That's the prize. And Paul's saying, I don't want to start strong and fade and miss out on what I was supposed to be about. I want to run in such a way that I finish the race that God has given to me and that I walk with Jesus, experience Jesus in this life. And then I get to go and be with him in the life that is yet to come forever and ever. I think Paul would say The prize is hearing at the end of his life, "Well done, good and faithful servant," which doesn't mean perfect servant, doesn't mean sinless servant, doesn't mean that he did everything right in every moment, and yet his desire, his heart's desire, is to walk with Jesus for a lifetime. And I'll just say, personally, I've thought about this for so many years in my own life. I want to walk with Jesus for a lifetime. I want to get up to the end of my life and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to get to the end of my life and meet Jesus and walk with him forever and ever. And not that I'm feeling insecure about that reality, but I'm just all in. I want to know him, love him, walk with him. I want to experience him forever and ever. And I guess the question today, just in this room, how many of you want the same thing for your own life? You want that to be the case. You want to walk with Jesus for life. And that's why you got up here on Sunday morning, here at Core Church, gathered with other believers, worshiping together, hearing God's word preach, serving. I see so many people serving all around the church, is bought in. We want to walk with Jesus for a lifetime. So some years ago, I began to pray about this in my own life because I'm just like everyone. I have the same temptations. I have the same inclinations. I have the same possibility of fading, just like great men and women of faith. I know that's inside of me. I'm prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love, as it says in the great hymn. That's inside of me. And so I just began to pray about it. Just got on my knees, opened my journal and said, "God, how do I finish well, even as a young man? How do I finish well?" And God just began to speak to me about my life. Not so much about my sins, though he's talked to me about those on many other occasions, but really about my habits, about what kind of life I was living day to day, what it looked like, what was part of my life and what wasn't part of my life. And at the end of that season, I made a personal decision, a commitment that I begin to say as a prayer to the Lord, as I came to him and I said to the Lord, I said, "For the rest of my life, Jesus, with your help, I intend to spend the rest of my life in your word, on my knees, and with your people." There are three phrases that I felt like the Lord gave to me as I was praying, just out of nowhere. I never thought of them before. I just thought, "Lord, that's it. That's how I'm going to walk with you for a lifetime. I'm going to spend the rest of my life to the best of my ability. Not perfect. I'm not going to get it right every time, though I endeavor to walk away from sin and live in righteousness. But I'm going to spend the rest of my life in your word, God. I'm going to spend the rest of my life on my knees, God. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life with your people, God, because that's where life is found." In your word. What does it mean to spend our life in his word? It means to live our lives saturated by God's word. By saturated, I mean just like as many encounters with God's word as possible. It means I want to take time to read the scriptures for myself. It means I want to hear others explain the scriptures so I can be challenged and encouraged to understand what the Bible teaches. I want to find maybe some verses to memorize to plant God's word in my heart. I'm going to listen to the Bible. I'm going to listen to preach. I'm going to do anything just to saturate my life in God's word. Sometimes reading, sometimes studying, sometimes going to deeper levels. Sometimes I just need a dose of encouragement from God's word today. I'm going to saturate my life with God's word. On my knees. What does that look like in a person's life? It means physically I literally endeavor to get on my knees every single day at some point. It doesn't have to be on your knees. There's many ways you can pray. You can pray standing. You can pray with your hands lifted to God. You can pray with your eyes closed or eyes open. So many different ways you can pray. But I endeavor to get on my knees at least one time every single day and say, I want to live a life that's in conversation with my Savior. I want to live a life where I'm not just listening to myself or just listening to other people's opinions. I want to bring my heart's desires to God, my struggles to God, and hear from him in my own life as he just impresses things from his word or through prayer in my own heart on my knees, saying, God, I'm surrendered to you. Without you, I can do nothing, as the scriptures say. With your people, what does that look like? Well, that's what you're doing today. You're with his people. You're gathered together, Core Church, right here on this Sunday morning with his people, knowing that together we're stronger than when we're isolated. That me and Jesus is not stronger than me and Jesus and you and Jesus. That all of us together are just stronger. That I'm going to be likely to be encouraged by someone, say, hey, just keep going. Pastor, keep going. Brother, keep going. Keep following Jesus in your life. Hey, have you ever thought about this? Can I pray for you on that? What's happening in your life on that? How can I encourage you? Maybe how can I challenge you to think even differently than you have before? With your people looks like surrounding myself with God's people on Sundays, but not only Sundays, in your life, finding people, other believers, just to be in connection with, in your word, on my knees, and with your people. I call them holy habits, because we're all a collection of habits. How many of you are a collection of all kinds of different habits, right? We're a collection of a lot of habits. I have some good habits and some bad habits. How many of you are with me in that? Like lots of different kinds of habits. I have some habits that help me a lot, and I have some habits that hold me back, right? Ways of thinking, ways of speaking, things that I do or don't do with my life. I've got sinful habits, and I've got holy habits. We are a collection of so many kinds of habits. Holy habits are the ones that breathe life into your relationship with Jesus. They just breathe life, give you a little more wind in your sails to follow him. They're habits that help you keep going when you feel faint. I love the illustration from the Apostle Paul because it's a running illustration. How many of you, just by the way, how many of you are runners? You like to run? How many of you are normal people that don't like to run? Right? Good response out of that. There's a sense of which when you run, when you do anything physical, you eventually start to lose some energy, don't you? I mean, there's a point at which you just can't go any further. Whether you're walking, running, playing a sport, you eventually just, you get tired. You begin to run out, no matter the greatest athlete. I don't know how many of you watched the World Series last night. Incredible baseball game last night. They're getting tired. Pitchers can only pitch so many pitches, so many innings. They get tired. The greatest athletes in the world get tired. Holy habits are the ones that breathe life into your heart and life when you begin to get tired and weary. And the amazing thing about great habits is they compound like interest. Like if you put some money in the bank and they, or money in the stock market, or however you take some finance and they begin to, it begins to compound over time, just a little bit, a little more. And if you play that out over a lifetime, the compounding effect of the right kind of habits is incredibly powerful in a believer's life. Now, if I read the Bible one time, it'll be some benefit. If I pray a couple times over the next month, it will be of some benefit. If I'm with God's people a Sunday or two in the next month, it will be of some benefit. But if I'm in God's word regularly, if I'm praying regularly, if I'm with God's people regularly, it begins to compound like interest in my spiritual life. If you play that out over weeks, months, years, decade, the ability it has to breathe life into your spiritual life cannot be overstated. And that's the kind of life that God invites us into, a life where I'm following him for a lifetime. I think if I'm out there listening to this, I think it'd be possible to listen to this and think, it seems too simple. Aren't there more things to do? I think we can go to other places in the Bible and think of other things that would also be good to add to our spiritual life. Like your practices here, your 8 practices here at Core Church. Like there's other things we're also gonna do to help us grow, but I'm just trying to say, what are the essentials? If you had to boil it down to the fewest number possible, what would those be? And the danger in a list like this, in your word, on my knees, with your people, might be that it seems maybe too basic. Seems like that's maybe entry-level faith, but that's not true. I went to a doctor recently, and he, like annual checkup, I don't know how many of you do that. I don't always like love to do that, but I've been going to those annual checkups. And so I go to the annual checkup and he says, how are you doing? And so I began to say, well, this is how I'm doing. I work out regularly. I do these things. And this feels different to me than the way it used to. All those kind of things, so those conversations. And if you go to a good doctor and you say you're not feeling well, they're going to begin to ask you some basic questions before they move on to advanced questions. What are the basic questions? Well, I learned that very personally. He said, how much are you sleeping? I said, I don't know, like 5.5, maybe 6 hours a night, just what I normally sleep. He's like, I'd like to sleep a little more. Like, if you could get to 7 at least, I won't ask you about it anymore, but I'd like you to sleep a little more. He says, how are you doing with your diet? How are you doing with your exercise? Sleep, diet, and exercise is what a good doctor begins with, not first with your prescriptions necessarily, but how are you doing with just the basics? We may need to move on to some other more complicated conversation, but sleep, diet, and exercise are just the foundation for a healthy life. The same is true as the foundation for a believer's life. What is it? It is being in God's word. It is meeting him in prayer. And it is being with the church as it gathers, wherever it gathers, as often as it gathers. They are the soul's essentials for a healthy spiritual life. Sleep, diet, exercise, word, prayer, and church. These are the core practices that God has given to his people. And the amazing thing is these are not new. It's not like I woke up and had some new epiphany that no one else has thought of before. In fact, believers for thousands of years have been practicing the same things that we're endeavoring to practice and that we're talking about here today. Men and women of faith have found strength by meeting with God, by opening his word, by having conversations with other believers who can encourage and challenge them and help them to walk out their faith and be stronger than they would be on their own. And I've learned that spiritual growth isn't about moving past the basics. It's about going deeper into them. It's not about moving past them. Now we're going to go learn, like, tell me something I've never known before about the Bible, or tell me some new revelation that's never been said. It's not about moving past them. It's about growing actually deeper into them so they're actually more and more a part of your ongoing life in Christ. I've been mentored by this guy who lives in California, a retired pastor for a long time. He's 85. His wife has now passed on to be with the Lord. He still gets on the phone with me every month and just invests in me. And I said, how are you so alive in your faith? I started asking this about 5-10 years ago. You're 85. You still have a vision to make this difference with your life. You're still investing in me. How are you so vibrant? He said, you know what, Brad? This is what I do. I get up every morning before anybody else gets up, and I spend time with God. I read a few things in the Bible. I don't spend hours. I just few moments just alone with the Lord. My phone's not ringing. And then he said, I like to sit at the piano, and I'll just like, click out a song. He said, I don't know if it sounds great. I'm not playing it for anyone else. I'm just speaking to my Lord, my Savior, meeting with him. And I write down what I sense the Lord speaking to me, and then I go on with my day. I was like, what else are you doing? He said, well, I'm very involved in my church. I still am involved. I was like, even though your pastor's 35, you're still going, you're 85, you're still going. He said, I can learn from anyone who wants to walk with Jesus. I can learn from anybody. I learned something from everyone. I said, I hear you. I see how you're thinking and how you're working. Spiritual growth isn't about moving past the basics. It's about growing and going deeper into them. So let me make this practical in my own life, because I don't want to build such a high standard that we all feel like we should do it, but walk out and feel like we fail at it, and we don't do it good enough, and we feel like, uh-oh, what does that mean for my life? This is what I do in my own life. Others might do different things, but on the regular, how do I practice holy habits and on an ongoing basis? Well, for me, every day, usually while I'm getting ready in the bathroom, kids aren't coming in, bothering me. I'm listening to God's word. I'm going through a Bible reading plan. I'm listening to God's word. I'm thinking about what's in God's word. I have other times, sometimes where I can spend, I sit down and study God's word and I have my Bible out. But often for me, I'm listening to God's word through, for me, the Dwell app on an ongoing basis, just trying to hear God's word as I get ready in the morning. Every day, I'm endeavoring to physically get down on my knees wherever I can. Sometimes I do it at home and I'll just say, God, I'm so dependent on you today. I so need you today. I don't even know what I need you for yet, but I just know that I'm gonna need you. I'm gonna need your help today. I'll bring requests to him. I'll think of my family. I'm not there 30 minutes. I'm not there an hour on a daily basis. I'm usually there about 10 minutes. About 10 minutes listening to God's word as I get ready in the morning. If I miss that, it's on the drive into work. I'm listening to God's word. This is what I do. Then I'm spending a few moments, maybe 5-10 minutes on my knees, just as my daily practice, saying, God, here I am. I'm here again to meet with you, to hear from you. And then I'm trying to every single day have some conversation with somebody about Jesus. I don't mean that I'm trying to evangelize everybody in every store I go into. I'm just saying, who can I have a conversation? Somebody that I can encourage them and they can encourage me. It might be people I'm working with. It might be my kids. It might be my wife in the morning or late at night. Some conversation with someone about Jesus every single day. And I say that to say, it's not flashy. It's not hours on end. It's not fancy what I'm doing. But I'm doing it every single day because I believe that holy habits compound in the life of the believer, and they certainly keep me rooted and walking with Jesus for a lifetime. And if I'm honest today, I have to admit, I've gone through seasons where I've ignored these, even as a pastor. I'm now 19 years I've been a senior pastor. Church planted young, been pastoring for a long time, lots of different people. And I too have gone through seasons where I have ignored, I've studied for Sunday, I've prayed in staff meetings, but ignored habits in my personal life the way that I think God. Now, I don't feel like God is shaming me, that God's angry with me. I just feel like I missed the greatest invitation that I could have taken today. I just missed out on something great. I don't feel like God's mad at me. I'm not necessarily confessing the sin to him as a result of that, though it can be that or could lead to that. But I'm just saying, God, I don't know how I missed out on hearing the one who hung the stars in the universe. How did I try to do it on my own today? How did I miss out from being mentored by the great men and women of faith? Why didn't I read Daniel's story today or Moses' story today or Esther's story today? How did I miss out on being mentored by these great men and women of faith today? Why would I want to give up the opportunity to be encouraged by another believer who just loves me and wants to pray for me and stand with me? How did I miss out on that? So I don't feel shame, but I have to be honest. I've gone through seasons where I've ignored these. I'll bet you're the same. And what happens to me is I've suffered when I've ignored it. I've ended up spiritually dry. I've ended up discouraged. I've had my moments of that momentary doubts about faith that come in. It's all the result of drifting away from just a normal set of habits, just like when I'm not sleeping right, I'm not exercising, when I'm not eating the right foods. It doesn't harm me overnight, but it also compounds in the other direction. And I wake up feeling tired, exhausted, irritated, frustrated, not as strong as I want to. Same thing happens to us and has happened to me spiritually. But when I turn it around and start practicing holy habits again, the joy of my salvation comes back. Strength returns. God shows up. I start hearing from God again in that still small voice in my heart. I still start seeing God's word give me diamonds every single day that I can apply to my life and take with me. I start seeing the believers around me who are also trying to live for God, and I'm just encouraged that they're endeavoring to do that, and they're encouraging me as well. And so the seasons I don't, I slowly fade. But the seasons I do, I see the strength just fill my soul and give me the strength I need to do what God has called me to do. Today, I want to give you a Holy Habits Challenge so you can apply this right away. I hope that everybody, at least every family here today, was able to get one of the copies of Holy Habits. If you didn't, please make sure and see your team on the way out and make sure you get one of those. But maybe you can read that and take this deeper than we can have in a conversation just on one Sunday morning. But here's my Holy Habits Challenge today. So you can walk out of here and apply something as fast as possible to your own life. My challenge today is for you to practice all three habits every day for 7 days, okay? Say 14 days, 21 days, 28 days. You can take whatever challenge you want. My challenge today is just before you come back next Sunday to continue this journey with these people of faith that are here at Core Church, for 7 days, just say, God, I don't know if I can keep it up forever, but at least for 7 days, every day, I'm gonna spend some amount of time in your word. Once again, I'm not saying that has to be an hour long. You can pick your amount of time. Mine's simple. It's about 10 minutes every single day in God's word. I can have other moments where I feast and I spend more time, but every day my practice is 10 minutes in God's word. I'm gonna spend some moment every single day. The challenge is to get down on your knees, find a place, if you're able to do that, and talk with Jesus and just hear from him and pray and endeavor to align your heart and your goals with his heart and his goals for your life. And then every day, find someone. I don't care if you have to get on the phone and call somebody because nobody's around. Maybe if you're married, it's maybe a spouse, maybe somebody you work with. Find one person every day to have some faith conversation with them. Just say, hey, how are you doing in your faith? What's God speaking to you about? How can I pray for you? Just some conversation that leads you to a faith conversation every single day. Every day in your word, God. Every day on my knees, God. Every day with your people, God, for 7 days. And just test and see what God does in your life. Just see. And some of you have done this before, and so this is just a good reminder. Some of you have done this before, and you've failed. I mean, day one was amazing. Day two was okay. Day three, got busy, fell off the cliff. Day four, five, and six, you just felt shame, like you're a failure. All the emotions we have, don't look at it that way. Just say, today's a new invitation to meet with Jesus. He wants to meet with me. He loves me more than I love myself. He knows what I need to do with my life more than I know what I need to do with my life. He knows what's coming today more than I know what's coming today. And so God, for 7 days, I'm just gonna test and see what you might do in my heart to revive me or take me to another level in my understanding of your ways and my understanding of your presence. And then if God moves, as I just believe he will, as he revives your heart, as dead bones come back to life, like we sang about earlier, then you say, what would it look like for me to do that all the time? What might God do in my life over a lifetime? What might God do with me over a year if I did it, if I practiced holy habits? And the good news I want to say to all of you at Court Church is you can do this. It's not that complicated. You don't have to shoot for the moon. You don't have to have a theology degree to read the Bible. And by the way, you don't have to understand everything in the Bible to still get great things out of the Bible as you journey through it. Even if you get to a story, I don't know what's happening. I don't understand that. Just keep moving. It's okay. Just keep moving. God will speak to your heart over time. You can go back and figure that out. Find a study Bible. Every day, if you get on your knees and pray, you can do that. Some of you say, well, I have bad knees. Can I get on my knees? You can pray however you want to pray, okay? You can get on your bed on your knees. You can find a cushion for your knees. You can pray however you want. Every day, you can do this. You can have a conversation with another believer every single day. And best news of all is not just that you can do this. The best news of all, and let's just go to the gospel here for a moment. The best news of all is that the God of the universe, who made you, who formed you in your mother's womb, who knew your name before your parents knew they were pregnant, before there was ever any sense that your story was coming. That God wants to meet with you as well. It could be different. The God of the universe could be like, hey, when you click through all these steps, you check all these boxes, you do all the right things, you do all this, then I will consider meeting with you. But that's not what God does. God welcomes sons and daughters to come and sit with him and talk with them and hear from him. Yeah, to be forgiven of sin, to run back to him, to talk, to discuss. Book of James says, if you don't know what to do, ask for wisdom, and God will give it. He'll give it to you. This is the hope of the gospel, that the God of the universe wants to meet with you and walk with you for a lifetime. And isn't it true? He wants to walk with you even beyond your lifetime. And that's the greatest news of all. And that's why we want to meet with him, because he loves us so much. He gave his own son upon a cross for us. That if we just believe and come to him, we can have eternal life and walk with him, not just a lifetime, but walk with him for all of eternity. And that's what's ahead of you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that's what's ahead of you. And if you haven't yet given your life to Jesus, that is the greatest news that humans have ever received, that you can know the God of the universe who hung the stars in their place, who made DNA work, who makes the sun shine its light on us to tell us that you are loved and welcome at his table.
We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.